How do we look clearly at what's happening without becoming consumed by it? How do we stay morally awake without letting fear hollow us out? How do we witness suffering without losing our capacity for joy and connection and even rest, right? These aren't questions with quick answers, but they are questions worth asking and reflecting on, I think. And so before we talk about action or responsibility or what's to come next, I just want to bring us back into the body for a moment, because no matter how sharp our minds are, it's our nervous systems that carry this weight day after day. And so in this next segment, we're going to slow things down a bit, right? Let's focus on our breath. We're going to breathe and we're going to create a little internal space, not to escape what's real, but to give ourselves enough steadiness to keep showing up. Hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And before we dive into today's Magic Monday, I want to share a little life update, because honestly, it feels important to anchor into real life right now. So Jordan and I are in the process of moving into a new home, which is really exciting and it's sweet. It's grounding, especially as a way to begin the new year, to begin 2026. There's something about a new space that makes things feel possible again, right? Like it's a quiet reset. And yeah, there's boxes all over, our suitcases and routines are feeling a little out of whack, a little off. But also there's that feeling like, oh, okay, we're here and we're building something here. And this is a new beautiful chapter. And who knows what we'll end up creating here? Will it be a family? Will it be just new fun memories? Both? I don't know. We'll see. But on another light note right now, Jordan is also fully in playoff mode right now. I mean, Seahawks fan, major, major, major Seahawks fan. We've already been to a couple Seahawks games this year. And so therefore, I'm now a Seahawks fan. But yeah, the NFC Championship against the Rams. And so he's locked in right now and he's very hopeful and he's very emotionally invested too. And so most emotions are high. Everyone's excited. And somehow over time, you know, his love for the Seahawks, of course, like I said, made me a fan too, which is funny because I was raised as a Chicago Bears fan and that loyalty also still lives in my bones. But yes, this is now apparently a sports podcast. So let's go Seahawks. Just kidding. But I'm just bringing a lighter sense right now, because what I want to talk about today is a bit heavier, as the world feels heavy. And this has been sitting with me, and what I imagine a lot of you might be feeling too is just the strange contrast between moments of excitement and normalcy, right? But then also how heavy the world feels underneath it all. It can also feel just disorienting to honestly enjoy anything right now. Like, I'm like, yay, I'm celebrating the Seahawks, but at the same time, I'm heartbroken and mourning so many things going on in the world right now. It's great to care about football, and I'm so happy that there's something to laugh about and enjoy, when at the same time, I'm also so devastated, and I am experiencing fear, honestly, and I hate seeing the injustice unfolding around us. And so it can make joy feel confusing, right? Sometimes maybe even a little wrong. You feel a little guilty for feeling joy. So yeah, I just want to name that right away, because I didn't know what to talk about this week. But I was like, obviously, I'm going to talk about what's on my mind the most right now. And this episode isn't going to pretend like everything's okay. And it's not about bypassing what's happening, right? And it's just definitely not about turning a blind eye. I don't want to be naive or ignorant to what's going on. What I want to talk about today is how we tend to our hearts when the world feels like it's falling apart, and how we stay awake without breaking ourselves open, and how we care deeply without living in a constant state of alarm. Because many of us want to be fighters, right? We want to stand our ground. We want to protect others. We want to do the right thing. Yet at the same time, right, we're still human beings with nervous systems and hearts that need care. So if you're listening today feeling very heavy and overwhelmed and angry and heartbroken, or even just tired in a way that the rest of the world hasn't quite fixed, well, I mean, you're in the right place. So yeah, let's take this slowly and let's breathe together and let's talk about how to stay connected with ourselves in a world that feels anything but human right now. very inhumane. I want to start this part by just saying something plainly. A lot of what's happening right now is obviously, like I said, heartbreaking, and I'm devastated. I've felt heavy and honestly very angry and afraid. I have chills right now. Honestly, sometimes like completely helpless. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know many of you are feeling that too. I hear it in conversations and I see it in the pauses that people take before responding, or I don't know, I feel it in my body when I wake up and I check the news and wish I hadn't done it that way. But right now, everything's so chaotic, it's hard to not pay attention to what's going on. And what's been especially hard for me is how my mind keeps going there, right? I'm imagining scenarios playing out what I would do if I were in that moment, if I were standing there, if someone I loved was being threatened, if someone I saw was in danger. And when I really sit with it, the truth is, I don't think I would freeze either. I wouldn't quietly comply if I saw ICE hurting people. I know myself well enough to know I would stand my ground and I would want to try to protect or step in. And that makes me, I don't know what that makes me, but I think it just makes me human, right? Because when we imagine ourselves in these scenarios or these situations, what we're really imagining is love in motion, right? We're imagining what happens when terror meets fear, or when conscious meets power, and when your body moves before your mind has time to calculate the consequences. So that instinct to protect and to resist and to say, no, this is not okay, that is not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to suppress or explain away. It comes from a deep place inside us that knows what dignity is. At the same time, living with that instinct constantly activated is just, it's kind of exhausting, right? It can feel like your nervous system never gets to stand down. Like you're always bracing and always scanning and always preparing for the next terrible thing. And that's where the world can start to feel dystopian, not just because of what's happening out there, but because of what it does inside of us, right? But also at the same time, I can't even fathom what it'd be like to be someone who's afraid of being taken and sent away right now. Like I can't even fathom that level of fear. If I'm experiencing this level of fear, fear becomes ambient, right? Grief becomes background noise. And hypervigilance starts to feel normal. And I want to be really clear here that if you feel like your body is tired or jumpy or heavy or numb, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. You're an empath. That's not weakness. That's a nervous system responding to prolonged threat and uncertainty and injustice. The tricky part is this, is that many of us equate rest with complacency and calm with ignorance, right? Or softness with surrender. But being a fighter doesn't mean you have to live in fight mode all the time. You can care deeply, very deeply, without destroying yourself. And you can stay alert without staying inflamed, right? You can be ready to act and allow your body moments of safety. I mean, this is the tension that I want to hold with you today. Not to resolve it and not to tie it up neatly with a little bow or whatever, but to just sit inside it honestly, because the goal isn't to stop caring. I'd say the goal is also to not stop feeling, obviously, or to not, it's definitely not to not pay attention. It's great to pay attention, but the goal, I believe, is just to stay human long enough to keep going, right? And from here, we can gently widen the lens, because what we're living through isn't isolated, right? It's not new. And there's truly echoes in history that are uncomfortable to recognize, but also important to name. So I think it's important. The goal here is to be aware of history, to be aware of what's going on right now, but also to stay in our body so we can always stay centered and grounded and calm and alert and understanding.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. February can make it feel like everyone else has their love life figured out, whether you're married or you're dating or you're single or focusing on yourself. It's easy to feel behind or like you're doing something wrong, but the truth is that most of us are still figuring it out as we go. Therapy can be a really helpful space to slow down and get honest about what you want, what feels heavy, and where you might be putting pressure on yourself. You don't have to be in a crisis to benefit from it. Sometimes it's just about gaining clarity and understanding what's been weighing your relationships down. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched with a licensed therapist through a short questionnaire so you can focus on what you actually want to work on. And if your first match doesn't feel right, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists and more than 12 years of experience, BetterHelp has helped millions of people move forward with more clarity and confidence. No matter where you are right now, you're right on time. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. When it comes to feeding your baby, confidence is everything, and that's why I love Bobbie. Bobbie's organic, European-style infant formulas are designed to support all feeding journeys, whether you're breastfeeding, combo feeding, exclusively formula feeding, or just keeping a backup can in the pantry. Bobbie is a brand that truly meets parents where they are, so what really stood out to me is how thoughtful Bobbie is about every detail. They only use carefully sourced ingredients backed by proven science, and every single batch goes through over 2,000 safety and quality checks before it ever leaves their U.S. manufacturing facility. That level of care makes such a difference when you're choosing what goes into your baby's bottle. Bobbie also offers a full suite of recipes and holds some of the most trusted certifications out there: USDA Organic, EU Organic, European Organic, Clean Label Project Purity Award, and Clean Label Project Certified Pesticide Free, a high quality infant formula you can genuinely feel good about. And parents aren't the only ones who love it. Bobbie has been recognized as Babylist's 2025 Top Choice Organic Formula and named 2025 Top Choice by Consumer Reports, which says so much about the trust they've built. I love that Bobbie was created by moms who couldn't find a formula that met their standards, so they made one that did. It's inclusive, intentional, and built to help parents feed with confidence no matter what their journey looks like. If you want to learn more, head to HiBobbie.com. That's HiBobbie.com, HiBobbie.com, to find the organic, clean, high-quality infant formula trusted by parents and loved by babies.
And so I want to approach this next part gently because, you know, it's not comfortable and it's not meant to be, right? There are moments when history feels distant, like something we study and memorialize and promise ourselves that we would just never repeat or be there again. Or maybe we're like, oh, we're so lucky to not be at that time. But then there are moments when the past suddenly feels a little too close, right? A little too familiar. It's unsettling in the body. And lately, I've been feeling that closeness in a way that's hard to shake. There's a passage written in 1943 by a girl hiding with her family during the Holocaust. Not a quote meant to inspire, not something polished or poetic. It's just an observation written in real time about what she was witnessing outside her window. It's in the Diary of a Young Girl, where she writes, "Terrible things are happening outside. At any moment of night and day, poor, helpless people are being dragged out of their homes. They are torn away from their families and taken to camps and prisons. Children come home from school to find that their parents have disappeared." Okay, I want to pause there for a moment. Anne Frank was not writing symbolically, and she obviously wasn't exaggerating. She wasn't trying to make a point. She was a child describing a state of violence and forced removals, families being torn apart, and the terror of not knowing who would be next. We can't allow history to keep repeating itself. And the reason that this passage feels so heavy right now is because it echoes, it's now, because parts of it sound uncomfortably familiar, because it reminds us that these patterns don't always arrive loudly at first, right? They arrive gradually, and they're normalized, and they're justified and explained away. So naming that doesn't mean that we're saying history is identical, and it doesn't also mean that we're collapsing nuance, and it doesn't mean that we're being alarmist. It means that we are paying attention, and paying attention is not the same as panicking. Awareness does not require us to live in constant fear, but it does ask something of us. It asks honesty and courage and care, and no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, what matters most is humanity. And so to pay attention to that and not turn a blind eye, maybe become more aware of the messaging is around people defending what's going on right now, no matter where you stand. Humanity and compassion should always come first. So what moves me most about Anne Frank isn't just what she witnessed, but how she continued to reflect and to write and to feel and to remain inwardly alive in circumstances designed to strip people of their humanity. She didn't harden herself to survive, and she didn't numb out to cope. She stayed tender, even when the world was cruel. And that's the tension that we're sitting with today. How do we look clearly at what's happening without becoming consumed by it? How do we stay morally awake without letting fear hollow us out? How do we witness suffering without losing our capacity for joy and connection and even rest, right? These aren't questions with quick answers, but they are questions worth asking and reflecting on, I think. And so before we talk about action or responsibility or what's to come next, I just want to bring us back into the body for a moment, because no matter how sharp our minds are, it's our nervous systems that carry this weight day after day. And so in this next segment, we're going to slow things down a bit, right? Let's focus on our breath. We're going to breathe, and we're going to create a little internal space, not to escape what's real, but to give ourselves enough steadiness to keep showing up. So I want to invite us to slow down together for a few minutes and give our nervous system a moment of safety so your heart doesn't have to carry all of this alone. And if it feels okay, maybe you can sit back a little. If you're driving, maybe skip this part, definitely just stay alert. But if you are in a quiet space, especially if you're in your room or something, maybe place your feet more firmly on the ground, maybe even take a seat. And you can listen to this as well while you're walking or driving or resting. Just let these words wash over you and stay alert. But with that said, if you are seated and in a safe place, like in your room or something, feel free to close your eyes if you want to, but you don't have to. This is just about focusing on our breath. So let's start with our breath. Take a breath, nothing fancy. Inhale. And when you are ready and holding it at the top, feel free to exhale and release. Notice where your body is right now. Notice any places that feel tight, braced, or guarded. You don't need to fix them, just notice. If it feels comfortable, maybe place one hand on your chest and one on your belly. Feel the warmth of your hands. Feel the weight of your body being supported by the chair, by the floor, by the earth beneath you. Take another deep breath. Let it travel a little lower this time, down into your belly. You might notice how used your body is to staying alert, how ready it is to respond, how little space it had to rest. And I want to say this clearly, your vigilance makes sense. Your care makes sense. Your exhaustion makes sense. Imagine there is a boundary around you, not a wall, not armor, just a gentle boundary. Inside this boundary lives your compassion and your courage and your love. Outside of it is the noise of the world, the headlines, the fear, the urgency. You don't have to pull everything inside right now. You can let yourself be aware without absorbing. With each exhale, imagine releasing just a fraction of the tension you've been carrying. Not all of it. Just enough to breathe a little easier. If thoughts come up, images, worries, anger, grief, let them pass like weather. You don't need to follow them. You don't need to push them away. You are not abandoning anyone by resting. You are not betraying your values by calming your body. Rest is not surrender. Rest is preparation. Take one more slow breath. Feel yourself here now. And silently or out loud if it feels right, offer yourself this permission. I am allowed to find moments of peace. I am allowed to soften without disappearing. I can care deeply and still tend to myself. When you're ready, gently bring your attention back, taking a deeper breath or lifting your gaze. And we're going to carry the steadiness with us as we move into the next part, where we talk about what peace can look like in practice and how it can actually support our ability to stay engaged and awake and human. So I want to slow things down a bit, because peace doesn't mean disengagement, and it definitely doesn't mean silence or compliance. Peace, in moments like this, it's about stamina. It's about choosing a way of being that allows you to stay awake and responsive without burning yourself out. Because a nervous system that's constantly flooded can't sustain long-term care or long-term resistance. One of the most important shifts that I've been making lately is learning to witness without absorbing everything, right? So that might mean staying informed, but not endlessly scrolling. And it might mean choosing a few trusted sources instead of consuming everything. And it might also mean letting yourself step away for a day without guilt. Another part of this is choosing intentional action over constant exposure. We don't need to know every detail of every injustice to care, right? And obviously, we don't have to be outraged 24/7 to be someone who cares. But sometimes, maybe the most grounded thing we can do is just pick a meaningful way that we ourselves, we know we are capable of showing up. And that could be from donating money or time, like volunteering, writing, talking with our community, our family, social media, having hard conversations in new places, and just letting that be enough for right now, whatever we can do. And so there's always something quietly powerful about tending to your daily rituals during times like this, like making your coffee slowly, going for a walk without your phone, writing your thoughts down instead of holding them in your body, and connecting with people who remind you why life is worth protecting it in the first place. Like, these are not small acts. They are how we preserve our humanity. And of course, then there's community, which might be the most overlooked form of resistance there is. I mean, staying connected, checking in on each other, letting yourself be supported instead of carrying everything alone. You were never meant to hold the weight of the world by yourself. None of us were. Peace, in this sense at least, isn't an escape. It's a resource, and it's the thing that allows us to keep choosing compassion and to keep responding instead of reacting, or to stay soft without becoming passive. I want you to remember this. You don't have to harden to survive this moment, and obviously you don't need to go numb to stay informed, and you don't have to sacrifice your nervous system to prove anything, or to prove you care, or to stay alert and on top of everything. It makes sense if you're scared right now, and if you're angry, and if you feel a pull to protect and to resist and to stand your ground. That's human. It means you're paying attention. It means you care. And at the same time, it is also not a failure to seek moments of peace. It is not a betrayal of your values to rest your body. It's not weakness to soften when the world feels hard. We are allowed to stay aware of what's going on without being all consumed, allowed to care deeply without losing ourselves, right? Allowed to find steadiness, not as an escape, but as fuel, to fuel ourselves so we can show up more and be there more for others. It's important to protect your peace right now in any way that feels right for you. I want this to be a permission slip, however that feels right for you. Even if that means if there are certain people in your world right now that trigger you, maybe you don't align with in certain ways, especially with what's going on in the world right now, if you need to keep that space, please do that for yourself. Think what you can do for yourself to keep your peace so that when and if the time comes, you have the space to show up. If there's anything to take from today, then maybe just let it be this, that you don't have to carry everything to be part of the solution or the revolution, but your presence matters and your heart matters. How you care right now, that matters. Your humanity matters. So as you move into the rest of your week, I just invite you to perhaps take one small act of grounding with you, whether that's a breath or a boundary, a conversation, or just a moment of beauty that you let yourself fully receive, and allow yourself, remind yourself daily that it's okay to welcome in peace and stay grounded. And you can stay open without breaking, stay aware of what's going on in the world without allowing it to fully consume you. Stay soft without disappearing, and keep choosing compassion for others and for ourselves. I think it's important that we do stay aware and stay alert and continue to share and rise up and speak while simultaneously finding time for ourselves to ground, to practice self-care, to meditate, so that we can always show up whenever we have to. Anyway, that's my message for today. As someone who is allowing the world to fully consume how her nervous system feels right now, so I personally need this peace and grounding and to practice self-care a little more right now. And so that's why I wanted to share that message with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for caring. Feel free to say hi to me on Instagram or Substack at Raquel Mantra, RAQUELLEMANTRA. And with all that being said, thank you for listening, and thank you for your magic.